Welcome to another episode of the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Britt. A fresh take on sports by two guys who think they're right even when they're wrong, which is a lot. Sports, movies, music, and, well, other stuff. So sit back, relax, turn it up, and join the journey into the unknown and maybe have a laugh or two. Here's your hosts, Brandon Lowe and Ryan Britt.
All right, we're doing it. We're here. It's Monday, August 8th.
That was the most lackluster bring in I've ever.
Well, we're here. We're doing it.
It's Monday. Sleep well last night, boys. I don't know. Sunday to Monday, I never sleep well. But anyway, welcome into the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Britt here on HD Media Sports Video Productions, brought to you by our sponsor over in Nitro, the Tent Guy. So off 25 Michigan Avenue, John Wheeler. Make sure to give him a call, 304-380-2935, for all your tenting needs, whether it's a house, business, boat. He's got you over at the Tent Guy in Nitro. And that's a quarter mile from the St. Albans Nitro Bridge. Brandon Lowe next to me, Ryan Pritt from the Gazette Mail. And, of course, across from me, the beautiful Jack Withrow. Boys, how was your weekend?
Good.
Jack had a crazy day yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was up and back. It wasn't that crazy, but...
In Morgantown?
Jack did it yesterday. I did it Saturday.
Yeah, keeping the I-79 corridor hot.
There you go.
Checking on all the construction.
Oh, okay.
It's actually a little bit better.
Really?
Yeah. It's getting better.
It is.
Mountaineer fans, it's getting better.
I give some credit there where it's due. I didn't get slowed down quite as much as I did last spring. So.
Yeah, as I say, last year, it was pretty brutal.
We got all the stuff near, like the first 40 miles going north. Remember, that was just a disaster area. I think we got all of it done, so... Mm. Congrats. And thank you. And we drove through AMA and we were good.
Yeah, you got some stuff up near Jane Lou or Weston in that little section.
Oh, okay.
Still to go, but it looks like should complete here in the next few weeks.
Ryan, you were up there for practice?
I was.
Saturday?
Got a half hour practice and 2 hours to eat a dinner at B Dubs and then came back and did an interview and then drove home.
Offense, you told us the offense.
Well, we're not gonna dispose the contents of our group chat on the podcast here.
No, I'm saying, and you said the offense looked a little rough at times.
I mean,
it's gonna happen though.
It was a half hour of practice, and no one had full pads, so I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm condemning the entire unit just yet. But you know, I don't know. It's hard to take much from that, really. I
mean, you never know what they're trying to do.
Ask me again. A week from today, I will have seen, next week is fan day, and practice is fully open for fans, and they're going to start some pad work. I think we're supposed to start yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
And so scrimmages, I think they're supposed to have a big scrimmage Thursday. Mm-hmm. So Saturday, I figure we'll have a much better look and idea as to what's going on with this team. But, you know, it was what it was. It was guys wearing shorts. It was... I will say, and I was obviously I missed a couple media open practices last week. I was doing some stuff in White Sulphur, but I don't know if you guys heard that as we walk in for the open of practice, you know, they got the big speakers and they're playing music there. Have you heard what the first song that plays every day is?
No.
Sweet Caroline.
Oh, Sweet Caroline. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
That is cool. Yeah. It looks like they're wearing the new helmets too.
Nah, they did that on the day before the media open availability on Wednesday. That was just a photo we had.
I gotcha. So, cool.
Yeah, they had the traditional blues on Saturday. But, yeah, man, went and checked in on Jack's boys, Aki.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got the question on the press.
Drills a little bit. He's big.
271,
big man.
Right?
Yeah, big man there.
Got him listed
at
271 now.
Yeah, wow. He's I'm going to tell you what. I went over and watched the whole defensive line like work for 10 minutes after you texted me and told me to get a picture. And
you went above and beyond with the video.
I brought a video.
Yeah, you got the video.
Yeah. Well, you know me, Jack. Yeah. I'm not going to let you down. Fun to watch those guys work.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's the unit right there. That's and it's hard to imagine, you know, losing perhaps the best one to Miami, what that unit would look like if had he not gone. But They're in good shape.
Yeah, you got three studs coming back.
It's like, you know, I don't know if you listened to Neil's response to my question, but they're wanting to go three deep up there. And they can rotate nine guys in and out of the defensive line. That's going to be really big for them. So
yeah, and I mean, Phil Still even said, you know, if he hadn't Lafayette, if they haven't lost him to Miami, Mezador, that would have been a top five unit in his rankings in the country.
Yeah, it would have. So,
but he said he was still like top 15, top 10, wherever he said. So, yeah. And then on the other side, the offensive line, which Neil said in the presser, this is the year of any year he's gotten there in Morgantown, that they had a lot of high expectations there.
Grant Traylor and I played golf yesterday at Sugarwood. I took a day off. It doesn't happen often, but I did. And we got paired with a guy, just, you know, coincidentally, that had a WU polo on. You could tell he was a fan. So he was driving around with his wife, and, you know, we were playing and got to talk and told him what I did for a living and stuff. And he asked me, he's like, you know, how do they look? Of course, everyone wants to know. And I'm just like, I mean, you know, you can't really tell. But he's like, yeah, that offensive line ought to be really good. And that's such a complicated – it's way more complicated than that, because it's like – yeah, they get them all back.
Who's behind them, though?
But not no. But you get them all back. They weren't real great last year, though. That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, they weren't great.
It's not just that you have them back. Like, they have to all improve and be back.
Right.
And I think they will, obviously. I don't think they're going to be any worse. But, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of expectations on that unit. That offensive line is going to go as far as anything in determining what kind of year it's going to be. Because they've got to be able to run the football.
For sure. I mean,
they have not run the football since Neil Brown's been there.
Well, this is something I feel like we've just been beating like a dead horse about. As the offensive line, obviously protection was a huge, huge problem last year. And then running the football, like you said, Letty pretty much just getting pummeled to trying to get across the offensive line half the time. Yeah. But
and gave up the most sacks in the Big 12 by 10.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Now,
that could be part of him holding the ball.
You can tell me that some of that's Jarrett Deggie. You know, okay, cool. Yeah. But, I mean, some of it is also getting – I was at Baylor, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Jarrett Diggie had –
he was getting destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting – I mean, there was – yeah, that was not Jarrett Diggie's fault that day. I can tell you that. So, I don't know, man. I go back and forth on it. We got a long way to go, obviously. So, I guess the moral story is next Monday. I'll give a much more detailed – I did, however, fill out an AP Top 25, my vote.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
And I filled out an All-American team last night.
When's it come out? Did it already come out?
No,
it comes out soon.
I think the poll drops.
It's like a Sunday, right?
Next week, I believe. I'm not sure about the
All-American. And Sunday and Monday, right? Yeah. Monday is when it comes.
I can tell you this, though. Alabama will not be a unanimous number one this year.
Well, most people are pointing towards the Buckeyes.
I think Alabama will be number one. Most people were pointing toward Bama.
I saw that Ohio State and Bama both are double-digit favorites in every one of their games.
Yeah, they're the only two teams in the country. Yeah, Bama's got everything back, and they brought Will Anderson back. That guy's pretty decent at football.
Beast.
So, yeah.
They're coming off the rebuilding year, as Saban called it, last year.
Oh, my God.
So, there you go. Yeah. We were rebuilding last year.
I bet I'll be a hit in Manhattan, Kansas again, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tim Brando, who I think, boys, we should have him Friday. I couldn't get him today, but we should have him Friday. His top 10, he always puts his top 10 out. He had Baylor at number 4. Which is kind of tough because they've lost.
You know, I saw Oklahoma's favored in every game.
And he had Oklahoma at 6, I think 6. I'd have to look. I'd have to go over.
I think I'm more down on the Sooners than most then.
The Baylor at 4, though, that's
like, I like Dylan Gabriel, but he also might not be playing by game 4.
Yeah.
Same with JT Daniels, by the way.
Sure.
But, I mean, the same kind of concerns anyway. I'm much higher on Baylor and Kansas State and Texas than I am Oklahoma. Oklahoma State, even. I'd probably put Oklahoma 5th right now. I might be crazy, but.
Yeah, the OU assistant.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, just got up and resigned.
We saw what happened.
I didn't read into it. I just saw he resigned.
So apparently they were in some kind of positional meeting or whatever it was, and noticed that one of his players was preoccupied on his iPad or something.
Wasn't paying attention or something.
So he went over and grabbed the iPad and noticed that what was on there wasn't anything about what he was teaching, so he read it out loud. And there was a word in there.
Oh.
And he didn't say what the word was, but I read between the lines. I got a pretty good idea.
Sure.
You know, because there's not many words that would make you resign from your job just for reading.
Yeah.
And he read it. And he said he was just reading it and just went right through it. And then afterwards, it's like, oh, my God, I just said that out loud.
Yeah.
And then resigned. That's what
I didn't see this issue. I just so happened to see it on the way over here.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I didn't read in the story. I just saw the headline.
If that word is what we think it is that grounds for resigning from your job? Reading it on another, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's kind of like
no.
I wouldn't think so, but I mean,
no, because if it was accidental,
that just sounds weird.
Yeah, it does. But I had the grant.
So a kid is not paying attention. He's goofing off on his iPad.
So I have the full statement.
Coach sees it, he grabs it,
and goes to read it out loud, and then runs.
He just reads what's on it.
Yeah.
So the kid wrote something on it, or what? Here, I don't understand.
I got the official statement, and we got to hurry, I know, because Harvey's coming on here. But let's see. Last week during a film session, I instructed my players to take notes. I noticed a player was distracted and picked up his iPad and read aloud the words that were written on his screen. The words displayed had nothing to do with football. One particular word that I should never, under any circumstance, have uttered was displayed on that screen. In the moment, I did not even realize what I was reading, and as soon as I did, I was horrified. I want to be very clear, the words I read aloud from that screen were not my words. What I said was not malicious. It wasn't even intentional. Still, I'm mature enough to know that the word I said was shameful and hurtful, no matter my intentions. The unfortunate reality is that someone in my position can cause harm without ever meaning to. In that circumstance, a man of character accepts accountability. I take responsibility for my mistake.
He shouldn't resign.
He did.
Did somebody ask him to resign?
Probably.
That's not what it says. I mean, now, yeah, I mean, that could have happened behind the scenes.
Probably.
For that?
I would imagine administration did that.
It says, while considering this decision, I have been overwhelmed by the love and support of those who know me, my character, and my love for the program. Truly appreciate the support of players and coaches have shown. That support means more to me than I can express. It proves what I've always known about Oklahoma. We are a family, so thank you.
Wow, that's a long
something.
It's not even all of it. Nevertheless, I recognize this is a critical moment for Oklahoma football. This team, its coaches, players, administration, and fans do not deserve to be distracted by off-the-field matters while working to continue a tradition of excellence that makes me proud to be a Sooner. I wouldn't do the program I love a disservice of distracting them from this mission. Effective immediately, I am stepping down.
Yeah, that just seems something was off there. Here's the thing, too.
Did they ask the player to leave the program?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Something's out. Something's missing.
Well, here's the thing, too. What happened, too? I guess he accidentally said that, and did he take responsibility, personal responsibility, or did the players come to the administration, or was there another coach in there, and they reported him saying that? Like, that's the part I want to know, too.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the statement, though.
The rest of the story is still out there.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know.
People are also trying to cancel Metallica today for being racist, so there you go.
Really? What happened there?
They got a bunch of boosts from, like, the Stranger Things this stuff, right? Well, I guess some dude with a Twitter handle has gone back in time and, like, researched, like, videos where they were, I guess, some, like, 80s concert, and he said they were making Nazi mannerisms.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember seeing that in my Metallica Live library, and I've watched a lot of Metallica Live videos, and if they were, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's probably not what they meant. I don't know. Sometimes you're playing guitar, and you kind of point up to the crowd, you know?
Or you're throwing your pick.
I'm guessing maybe that probably is part of it.
I mean, they throw their picks.
Yeah.
You know, you'll play your guitar, and you'll throw picks, and you'll grab another pick off your stand and play.
Obviously, those two situations are not the same.
But
it's kind of a crazy day.
Yeah, well, I didn't see that, but wow.
I'll tell you who's not canceled. Harvey Arms.
Harvey Arms isn't
canceled, and he's going to come on and talk some man football with us here in just a second. Yeah,
Scoop and Score segment. If you've been watching or listening to the podcast throughout the summer, to keep you in tune with and get you ready for the high school football season, we've been talking to area head football coaches, and Harvey Arms. I called him up last night and called him on his landline, and I got his cell phone, so it was funny. He's like, let me give you my cell phone number real quick because I'll be at wrapping up practice. So he did us a little favor, and he's going to join us and talk about the hillbillies over there in Man. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back here with Harvey Arms on the Brand Blows Show with Ryan Britt. All right, welcome back to the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt, brought to you by the Tent Guy over in Nitro. That's off 25 over there on Michigan Avenue, a quarter mile from the St. Albans Nitro Bridge. Get a hold of John Wheeler over there for all your tenting needs, 304-380-2935. All right, scoop and score. Been doing this all summer long, and now we turn our attention over to the Hillbillies of Mann High School. Harvey Arms joins us on the show. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Coach, you've been doing this for a long time. Let us know what your team looks like this season, how they've been doing throughout the summer, putting work in, obviously practice. How's your team looking so far this year?
Well, we've had some real good practices in our three-week period in our flex days and our first week of preseason camp, like it has been for us the last few years. The biggest problem we have is numbers. We have now about 31 kids, you know. We'd like to have 40 to 45, but our enrollment and population here keeps going down, so we keep struggling with numbers, but we feel like we've got a good group of kids. They've worked hard in the preseason, everything we've done, and they're still working hard, so we're looking forward to a good season.
Hey, Harvey, when your numbers are like that, and that's a big concern for you, does that change a lot of what you do during that three-week period? Does it make it a little less strenuous on them, or do you kind of just do what you always do there?
Well, the biggest thing that we have to do is try to figure out what scheme we're going to use to play the guys where we can get the most out of the talent we have. We've got some really athletic kids that could probably play any position we needed them to play, but we just have to figure out what's best for the team who plays where.
Coach, I know, speaking of those numbers and obviously the area, you talked about the population, then you look at your schedule and you got another tough one this year. 7 out of 10 AA schools, you got 6 of them on the road. Kind of go into that, how that's going to push your kids. Maybe make them a little better, but it's definitely challenging for your team there.
Well, it is a big challenge, but we're used to playing competition. It's always been that way for us. We've never had a season where we had an easy schedule, I don't think, in the history of the school, probably. It makes it a little tougher in the fact that, you know, every week you go out there, every week most of the time we're playing teams with a lot more players than we have. Our kids have to go a little longer, play a little harder, and get a little more tired. So it's tough in that situation. But the thing about it is the kids get something out of it. They know what it is now to be in battle and to have to work hard and have to compete and really give a full effort.
And Coach, take us through your roster a little bit. Who are some kids that you guys are going to lean on? Who's kind of stood out to you so far in the summer?
Well, we've got some senior kids back that are, as I said before, real athletic kids. We've got one of our leading running backs from last year back, Jordan Adams. We've got two receivers in Chris Isaacs and Jacob Walls. That there are three seniors, experienced athletic kids, and we look for a lot of leadership and a lot of offensive and defensive production from them.
Coach, that community, and we've talked about it here on the show, and we've talked about multiple football communities, how everybody comes together. It was Mann, right, during COVID, Ryan, then pulled out the flat bed.
Flatbed truck.
Made sure they could still watch you guys from afar. That's just really cool, and obviously that's probably a huge part of why you're there coaching. It's just a community that comes together, and you got multiple, I go back to that schedule, there's multiple schools there that you have a ton of history with, so just a lot of fun in a community when it comes around football season.
Right. Our people love football, always have, I guess. And like you say, we struggled through the COVID, but our fans kept finding a way to get out and watch your kids play, and it was good for us, good for our kids.
You know, we had Coach Mullins on earlier this year, and he was talking about, you know, that opener that you guys have. And I've been fortunate enough to be at that thing once or twice. And really one of the best kept secrets in the state in terms of a game that's really, really competitive. There's a great environment around it. What does it mean to have that game right at the front of your schedule, to be able to kind of dangle that one in front of your kids to work hard and push through the fall?
Well, kind of a two-edged sword, I think. You know, it's good to get your rivalry game and get it played early, and you're almost sure to have the real good crowd then if the rivalry situation. But then a lot of times after you play it, you think, well, I wish we'd have played in the middle of the season when we'd have had a little more time for a team to grow and get better. But we like it. We've always played them early in the season, and well, started the very first game ever since I've coached, and it's always been a pretty competitive game. Kids play hard, the crowd gets into it. It's a good way to start a football season.
Coach, we talk about your tough schedule for reasons, your area, you know, your numbers are a big thing in high school, obviously, but, you know, last year you just missed playoffs, obviously point wise, that does favors there, playing a bunch of double A schools. You could pull off some victories there. Not to dabble too much again into last year, but what you feel like you could get a couple more wins, or what would be the difference or major difference for this year compared to last year where you push towards the playoffs, make the playoffs this year?
Well, we just have to win more games. I think, you know, we've got a good schedule to make the playoffs on if we win games, because, you know, with the 7 AA teams, any of those that we can beat, we're going to get 3 extra points right off the bat. And if they win games, then we can still pick up more bonus points. So what we have to do, we just have to win games. If we can win 7, I think we would probably be good to go. I would think maybe even possibly how everybody else's season goes, maybe 6 could get us in. But, you know, we hope to win them all.
All right, Coach, move our attention over to the fun part of this segment, 12-pack questions. There's 3 of us in here. We're each going to ask you 4 questions. Questions could include sports, or it could not, but mostly not. Are you ready for it?
Okay.
All right, right out the gate, movie or show that you've cried to, it can be happy tears or sad tears, that you never publicly admitted to until right now?
Brian's song, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's yeah, a great one.
There you go. All right.
Coach, you're stranded on a deserted island, and you can only have 1 record to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Say that again.
You're on a deserted island, and you can only have 1 record to listen to for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Oh, Amazing Grace, I guess.
All right, Amazing Grace.
All right, Coach.
I'll turn your mic on.
I'll turn myself on. Coach, what would you put on your perfect hot dog?
Chili and mustard.
Chili and mustard, all right. That's the first chili and mustard I think we've had.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's stick with food. You're on death row. What's your last meal, Coach?
T-bone steak.
It's the first T-bone steak we've got so far.
Coach, for visiting fans, if a team's coming to your town to play you guys, where are you telling them to go eat before the game, and what should they order?
Probably the fire pit.
Is that a barbecue place?
Yeah, that sounds like. All right. There you go.
There you go, Jack. Jack's a big barbecue guy.
Oh, I love barbecue.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Do you own and wear a pair of Crocs?
Do not.
Man. Shut that down fast. Yeah. All right, Coach. NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Don't really know the difference.
Hey, I don't either.
It's the best answer I've gotten.
That's a fair one. Yeah, Coach, you've been a head coach there since 2002. Is that right?
Right.
What's the best win of your career?
Oh, gosh.
We make you think on this show, yeah, Coach. We don't let you off early or easy. I'm sorry.
Probably our semifinal win against Richwood in 2009.
There we go.
Okay. Jack?
All right, back in when you were in high school, Coach, what kind of car did you drive?
I didn't have a car when I was in high school.
Okay.
Rode the bus?
Rode the bus.
I feel you, Coach. All right, we each got one left, right?
Yep, one left.
All right, I'm going to go with Wade here. Mothman or Bigfoot, Coach? Which one are you going with?
Bigfoot.
Yes.
Favorite coach.
We got two Bigfoots now in the last 2 weeks. All right, Ryan.
Coach, if they were to make a movie about your life, who would you want to play you?
Oh, gosh. That one is tough.
I'm throwing that.
It could be anybody.
McConaughey, I guess.
Okay, there you go.
McConaughey.
That'd be awesome.
All right, Coach, last one. What's your favorite vacation spot?
Oh, right now? Chicago. That's where my grandkids live.
Okay. Nice.
Catch a Cubs game out there and all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, do a bonus one, though, because I feel like he... Do your bonus, the Rocky. Do it. I want to see because I'm feeling like you might win this one.
All right, Coach. Maybe. In a vacuum, and this isn't the series as a whole. It's just the original first movies. What is a better movie, Rocky 1 or First Blood 1?
First Blood.
Harvey Arms just became my favorite.
I told
coach
you, dude.
Thank you.
I felt
Harvey,
it.
I've asked that question to 40 coaches, and you were the first one to
this
back
This is history.
Me up. Thank you. It is. This is a historic day.
Well, you've asked Shane Lyons, Neil Brown, W.S. Huggins. I mean, every coach that we've spoken to pretty much in high school. I don't know, tons of people we've interviewed. And I think we even did we ask Kenny Mayne even? And you're the first. Yeah. You're the first one to say First Blood. So
yeah, Harvey, you're a great man. That's an awesome answer.
I felt it.
I feel like me and Harvey just became best friends. We're gonna go trout. We're gonna go trout fish together this fall. Okay.
All right, Coach. Coach, appreciate your time. It's been a pleasure. Good luck to your team this fall. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you. All right. There he goes.
I feel like taking my shirt off and running a lap around.
I just felt it.
Brandon, thank you for setting that up.
I felt it. I was like, I think he's a First Blood guy.
That's a hell. You got a Bigfoot. And a First Blood.
But you don't understand. Like
that's
this
the very
has been
first
2 years of hunting for one man.
Yeah.
To have the bravery that John Rambo had when he took out a gas station in Washington State. Was that Oregon? I can't remember. I think it was somewhere in the Northwest.
Somewhere over there.
That
I just felt it. I just felt that he was a First Blood guy.
You know those like how you like will pull out like a couple minute clips of our show. I want you to pull that out and just above it say. That moment when Ryan Pritt and Harvey Arms became actually Harvey Arms and Ryan Pritt linked arms.
Yeah.
Together.
Linked arms together.
And marched forward with the message that all of America needs to hear. And that is First Blood is a better movie than Rocky One.
You said you don't know how to make headlines. That's a headline.
I know.
Locked arms.
I just, you know, that was awesome. And somewhere, you know, in Logan County, Harvey Arms is sitting there trying to figure out what the hell he was just on.
He really was, dude.
True.
Especially when I said Backstreet Boys or NSYNC. That pause.
He said, I can't tell the difference, and that's my favorite answer ever on that question, too.
That was great.
That was awesome.
I had to say it. I mean, because, you know, I figured that's what he would. He doesn't know what that is.
First Blood winner.
That's awesome, man.
Harvey Arms, everyone.
I had that spider senses tingling, man, for Rambo. I was like, well I think he's a Rambo guy.
I had about given up hope on that one, to be honest with you.
He's probably the last guy. I shouldn't say that.
I'm going to call Marquee Theater and rent out a theater, and I'm going to play First Blood, and he's the only person I'm inviting. Me and Harvey are going to hang out and watch First Blood.
Just sharing a big old tub of popcorn.
Yeah. Then we're going to go eat T-bone steaks afterwards. It's going to be a nice evening.
That's awesome, man. That's great.
I love that he just said T-bone steak. No sides.
Yeah, just give me
the meat.
Yeah.
Just give me that. I'll tear into it and take me.
Really concise answers, but really good ones.
Yeah.
You ever wear you own a pair of Crocs?
No.
All right.
Next.
I didn't have a car.
Didn't drive a car.
Chili mustard. You know? I mean, he's just, hey, he was quick with it, though. Other than the win, which that's tough because he's coached a lot of football.
See, that was
games.
A really underrated, under the radar, great like segment right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you listen to that and it's like, well, that's not very long. He's not going in depth. That's the point. Like, that was sneaky, really
fire.
Good. Yeah.
It's rapid fire. He had it. He was right there.
We need to rank all of our coaches based on answers in the 12 packs when we're done.
We'll have the hot dog thing.
Yeah.
But that won't be a ranking.
Have you asked that to every single coach?
I have, yes.
Okay.
He's written it. You wrote it down, or you have a list.
I've got it. I've got.
Oh, you got the record,
you got like an Excel spreadsheet?
I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've gotten a lot of different answers.
Different answers.
And I've had requests that we do this during basketball season for basketball coaches.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that for sure.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. We'll continue it.
Yeah. I like that.
Or any other type of coaches.
Are we going to keep the name or is it going to call it different towards each sport?
Well, Scoop and Score doesn't really.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Scoop and Score would be football. So we do alley-oop or something. Fast break. There you go.
Okay. We haven't mentioned this yet, but we should.
The give and go, maybe.
100.
That's good.
Yeah, I like that. That's
give
actually
and go
better.
Is good.
Yeah. 103rd West Virginia Amateur winner, Noah Mullins, up next.
He's going to join us.
Mentioned that he's going to be here, so that's my fault. But
pretty crazy.
Had a big week this week, and we'll get him on here for a few minutes. And
it's first ever for him?
Yes.
Yeah, first ever, because he's been close, right?
Yeah. Been a good player for quite a while. So he's got the state championship at Cabell Midland, maybe two. I'll have to ask.
Played at Marshall.
Check. Played at Marshall, and now has a West Virginia amateur title. It's pretty good.
Cool, man. So we'll bring him on. We'll take a break. Let's shout out our sponsors real quick, Jack, before we sponsor the Tent Guy, 304-380-2935 for all your tenting needs, residential, businesses, boats, anything you need tented. Give John Wheeler a call over there. In Nitro off 25 Michigan Avenue, quarter mile from the St. Albans Nitro Bridge. All right, we're back with the 103rd West Virginia Amateur Champion, Noah Mullins, here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Britt.
Welcome back to another segment of the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt as Brandon scrolls his phone. Jack is at the controls over there. Joined now by 103rd West Virginia Amateur Champion, Noah Mullins, the 31st, I believe, champion in tournament history. Noah, how you doing today, man?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Good, man. I got to start here, too, because, you know, as you guys know, when players win big tournaments, you know, the move is to often put a beer in the trophy, you know, do that whole thing.
Yeah.
I think Noah went a little harder than that. If I was looking at suspected videos on Facebook correctly, Noah, whose idea was the fireball in the amateur trophy?
Idea? That's bonus points.
So all my buddies were at Guyan. There's a lot of people at Guyan. So literally right after I left the Greenbrier, set the GPS to Guyan. I was heading there to hang out with all my friends. And I wasn't there for 45 seconds, and I put the trophy down and was talking to everybody. And then one of the members of Guyan just had a liter of Fireball and just dumped it in there. And we were all like, all right, is this really what we're going to do?
That's some good friends. But,
yeah, Fireball, not really a summer drink either.
No.
But, yeah, we had a great time. It's been a really good last few days just hanging out with everybody and celebrating. And what is cool, I'm at Guyan all the time, so all those members of Guyan, they've told me they feel like they've won the tournament too. So, and that's awesome to me. That makes me so happy.
Well, Ryan was telling us, you know, while everybody else was going out and you know, having dinner or maybe having a few brews or whatever they were doing, you were out there working on, you know, putting, and you were still doing some work. And you know, obviously, at the end of this thing, here you are celebrating, you know, you have a little bit of alcohol, but kind of go through your mindset, you know, there, why that's so important. I mean, you've been so close so many times, so I'd imagine that had a lot to go into it as well. But can a guy go into that being focused, laser focused, not, you know, getting outside your game?
Yeah, well, I mean, tournament weeks for me is a lot of focus. I'm staying hydrated and trying to rest as much as I can, and especially for the AM. The AM's a four-round tournament, and most of our college events, we play three rounds. So playing a four-round tournament is just kind of unique for all of us. But especially, you got to, like, stay hydrated and get a lot of rest so you're ready to go for all four rounds. And, yeah, after the third round, I was pretty frustrated, not going to lie. I was like, man, I always have one round that kind of gets me in this tournament and kind of derails me from winning. And I got back to the hotel room with my dad, and he's like, you know what? If you would have told you that you'd be one back on to the final round with a chance to win tomorrow, you would have taken it, wouldn't you? And I was like, well, you know what? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I was kind of frustrated with my putting. So I went out that night before and spent a couple hours out there hitting some putts with Old White. And, you know, I was feeling good. We got some dinner with friends and then went back and woke up, and I was ready to go the next day.
You know, you did that work when you're putting, and it certainly, I'm sure it helps some, but, you know, the thing that stands out on the final day, dude, and Pat was telling me, he didn't miss a shot all day long. I think it was 13 out of 14 fairways. It was all 18 greens. I mean, with that weight on you, and tell us, maybe you didn't feel it as much as you had in the past. Maybe being there before kind of helped you, and I know you told me playing alongside with Pat helped too, but take us through that final day, man, and what it was like hitting, coming up with shot after shot down the stretch, knowing the tournament was kind of hanging in the balance.
You know, I didn't even think about it all day. I mean, I was just out there playing golf, and I was like, you know what? I mean, I've been working hard. Really this past month and a half, all I did was just practice for this tournament, right after the Open finish. So I was like, you know what? My game's there. I know what my game feels like right now. I know what I need to do. I just got to go out and execute and do it. And, all day I was just kind of strumming it, getting around the course. Wasn't really nervous at all. I was just so locked in and focused on everything I was doing. And, yeah, everything just fell in place. I had no clue. I had 18 greens or missed one fairway all day. I mean, I couldn't have told you that. I was just so focused on one shot at a time and going through my routine and doing everything I had to have a chance coming down the stretch there. But I will admit, I wasn't nervous all day. And then I got on the 18th green there, and I was kind of looking around, and I was like, holy smokes, like this is about to happen. Like I was kind of like just I didn't know. After that shot on 17 and just everything that happened all day, I was just like, holy smokes, and just calm down. And let's try to get this in the hole as fast as I can. So
is there growing up playing golf, was there a particular golfer that you tried to mirror your game from? Cause there's a lot of, you know, obviously when we were growing up as kids, you know, Tiger was such a huge part of swing and a generation.
Don't age us too much, man. We're old, we know.
Yeah, we're old. So, but, you know, obviously Tiger's still a name, and obviously even, you know, kids your age, as I say that, and it sounds even older as I say that, but, you know, you're still paying attention to him, obviously. He's one of the greatest to do it, maybe the greatest. So, is there a golfer that you kind of go to? I mean, even if you're working on stuff?
You know, I really don't look at any golfers for, like, swing stuff or anything, because I mean everybody is just so unique. There's no one person on the PGA Tour. I mean, you can go down the range on the PGA Tour, there's not one person that has the same swing. So you just got to find what's best for you and just kind of groove the swing that you have and make it the best you can. But Ricky Fowler has always been my favorite golfer. I mean, if you saw me when I was 13, 14 years old on the Callaway Junior Tour, you would have seen me in some crazy colors. I had the orange, I had the pink, blue. So I loved Ricky Fowler growing up, and I loved him because, I mean, he's just such a nice guy. He was always awesome to the fans, and I looked up to him in that aspect. I mean, he was a fantastic golfer, but he was an even better person. And I was like, you know what? Ricky Fowler's who I want to be as a person, and that's kind of what drove me to him.
You know, you roll with the pop color too, man. When did that start?
I don't know. I don't know when the pop color started. It was probably just one day at Guyane when we had all of us out there, and I was trying to get in my friend's head, just pop color, untucked shirt, just trying to mess with them a little bit, and they'd get all annoyed. So, and it's actually funny. Like, I just kind of, I think it was probably the last year or so that I've done it. And we were actually at the Mountaineer Intercollegiate this year and getting ready to play the final round. And I go through my warm up, whatever, and I'm on the first tee. We start on 10 that day. And Coach Grope's like, "No, what are you doing?" I was like, "Coach, what do you mean? Like, what's going on?" He's like, "Dude, your collar's not popped." And I was like, "Hey, you're right. You're right." So he fixed my collar, made sure it was popped, and I went out and played really good that day. And, you know, I've just always done it. So.
Well, it keeps your neck from getting sunburned, too, which is nice.
You know, that's what I always tell people. Yeah. I mean, keep your neck from being sunburned.
Hey, as the days have gone by, and obviously you're kind of a cerebral guy. I would get to know you a little bit over the years. I would say that about you. So I'm sure there was some recognition of the weight of the moment and what you accomplished this week. But, you know, you've played in big college tournaments. I'm sure you've played in big amateur tournaments in the state and beyond. What's the difference with this? How do you kind of put perspective on what an amateur win means as opposed to some of the other big tournaments you've played in?
I mean, if you ask any guy in West Virginia or any guy in any state, like, what's the one tournament they want to win? They want to win their state am.
Sure.
Because it just means a lot. I mean, especially for us. I mean, you get to be at the Greenbrier for 5-6 days, which is probably the most special and historic place in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So being able to have our event there and doing it at a course like that, it's just so cool. It still hasn't sunk in yet. I mean, I'm just so pumped and I'm just so excited. I mean, winning your state am, I mean, my name's going to be on the trophy the rest of my life, and I'm on the trophy with some really great players too. So,
have you got into the Tiger Woods John Daly meme game?
Well, I've seen them. I've had some people send them to me, but I haven't got into them. But they're pretty good.
Jackson, an all timer. I actually posted that out.
What was it?
It was the Taze Valley Kroger was Tiger Woods, and St. Albans Kroger was John Daly. That was great. But,
you know, one more thing I'll ask you before we let you go here. Obviously, I've been around since you were in high school, part of those really good teams that, you know, Coach Stead and Coach Ripley had down there, and got to know them, and they're really good guys. And, you know, since then, since you were 15 and I was following you around Wheeling, I've gotten to know your dad pretty well over the last, what's this, nine, how old are you, 23, 24 now?
Yeah, I just turned 23.
And I don't ever remember watching you play around where I wasn't talking to your dad walking up the fairway right behind you. And, of course, he was there all week, trudging it through the rain, trudging it through all the wind and all the stuff we had. And to have him there for that moment, I know your mom and your sister came too, so that was really special. But, you know, your dad has been there every golf shot I've seen you hit. And to be able to share that moment with him, that had to be pretty special too, right?
You know, I'm so lucky to have such a good dad like him. I mean, everywhere we go, he's out there with me. It don't matter where it is. I mean, especially on those 36 whole days in college, him walking 36 holes in the rain, cold. I mean, I'm just so lucky to have such a great family that comes out and supports me and will do anything just to help me. And I'm just so lucky. And to have him there was just so special. It was actually really cool this year too. I took my COVID year, so this is my last year at Marshall, and he was there at all 11 of our events. I mean, he watched every single shot I hit my whole final year of college, and I mean, we were actually talking about that, like, right after I finished. I mean, I was like, I'm just so lucky, so to have someone that loves me and will go anywhere to watch me play golf, it's just really cool.
Absolutely. Well, man, I know I pressured you about talking about the future. I won't do that today, but if you do stay an amateur, you got a heck of a trophy to try to defend next year. Have you thought about that at all, or are we still enjoying this one right now?
Hey, we're still enjoying this one. We're going to be enjoying this one for a while.
Absolutely, man. Well deserved. Thanks for coming on and hanging out with us today. And I'll tell you what, man, best of luck. Wherever you go from here, we'll be there watching. All right.
Yeah, good luck, brother.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Noah.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. There he goes.
Great kid.
Good kid.
Yeah. Great kid. And he's played a lot of good golf for a decade plus now that I've seen, and probably even before I was around. So
I thought it was obviously smart to take that COVID year and play again, you know, get a little more experience under his belt. And
yeah, it'll be
a smart,
you know, it'll be interesting to see what he does, because, you know, people hear that a golfer turns pro, they think, oh, well, they're going to go try to make the tour. Well, that's not always the case. You can give lessons. You can be a club pro. Yep. I don't know if he has tour aspirations. I don't think that he really knows. You know, talking to him a little bit, he was kind of weighing that, and he'll weigh it more in the next month or so. But know, Pat told me, Pat Carter, 13-time winner of the West Virginia AM, the second most all time, that if he decides to stay amateur, like he can win.
He can kill a couple.
Multiple. Can win a couple. Yeah, we're talking 3, 4, 5, 6, who knows? Whatever, he's the kind of kid that whatever it is that he decides to do, he's going to be good at it. And sure. Like I said, got to know his father pretty well over the last 10 years, and he's a great dude and really special moment, man. Those are special moments when those come to fruition down there, and that's part of what makes it awesome. So thanks to Noah for hanging out with us for a while.
Yeah, I didn't know he did it. I mean, obviously you follow along with it closer, but the fireball and the that's kind of cool.
Saw that video on Facebook, and he's right. He went straight to Guyane, where you know he's probably, I don't know if he's a member. I'm sure he is, but he's probably playing a lot of golf there, being a Cabell Midland kid. And yeah, someone in the clubhouse. He's right. He set it down for a picture, and you see someone like just take a and this damn thing.
It's a leader, is it?
Yeah, just upside down, and it feels like halfway up. I wasn't gonna call him out too much and ask him how much of that he had, but we'll use our imaginations there. So,
well, congratulations to him, man.
Yeah,
well deserved. You know, I thought that was a great way to handle the situation. He said he wasn't really thinking about it until he got on 18. I think, you know, that takes a special person, man. Because I mean, I get nervous over
and 18 less. And you know, par 3 finishing holes get a bad rap, and you know, it's probably not an ideal way to end it, but the 18th at Old White, it's just the way it sets in there. And I don't know if you all remember from watching the Greenbrier Classic, and and you got this hillside that just, it creates like a natural stadium in
there. Yep.
And when you're coming in there, everyone, and he's in the next to last group, so everyone that's finished ahead of him is sitting on this hillside because they're following the tournament too. I mean, they didn't win, but they want to know who wins. Because everyone knows everybody. So when he's stepping up on that tee box, he's got two of the best players of the state behind him trying to make birdie or eagle to get to within one or two of them. And he's also facing just a brutal flag location on the right and a hillside full of people on the left. And he's just come off of pitching out on 17. I mean, that had to be – he hits the green. He did 3-putt from there for his only bogey. And he told me after standing over that putt, he was –
He could feel it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but just the way that setting right there to end a round is just...
Sure.
You got the big clubhouse.
Yeah, you got the clubhouse. Yeah.
You got all the, like, the, you know, the White Sulphur Springs Mountains rolling up. And it's there's a reason that golf course is as revered as it is. And, you know, it's obviously in great shape. It's obviously in great layout. But the surroundings of it and just everything that goes into it, it's really awesome. So,
well, congratulations to him again. Like you said, he's going to be celebrating that for a while, and we'll see what happens in the future, man, for that kid.
Absolutely. We'll be
finishing up.
We'll be college. Watching. Yeah.
So. Just 24 years old, just turned 24. So, I mean,
future's bright for him.
Yeah, dude. 24 amateur champion. I mean,
yeah. So,
about as bright as Ryan's shirt today.
You like that?
Yeah. Oh, I see it in the camera.
It's popping. Camera. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice.
You're over there glowing, dude.
Well, you know,
that's an aura. That's not the collar, though. That's just his. That's just the vibe.
On the clearance rack at an Adidas outlet store in Foley, Alabama.
I like that collar. What is that? A salmon?
I think that's just a pink.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It's a salmon.
It looks like a salmon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A salmon.
You know, it looks like to me a cheap shirt that's actually long enough to fit, and I'm going to take
it. You're like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Did you have you ran into any more Iowa shirts on the racks calling your name?
I still should have bought that damn thing.
You should.
Went to TJ Maxx in South Charleston last year, and they just randomly had, like, an Iowa hoodie.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
And as Brandon, I love Iowa. Like, yeah. Let's see how many tight ends and fullbacks we can get on the field at one time. Like, I love that.
My favorite, it's one of my favorite colleges slash whatever venues to watch a night game, like on TV.
Oh, yeah, and then they got the whole children's hospital deal.
It's
and
badass.
Yeah, yeah. That they're like the program that wins 4 more games than they should every single year.
Yeah.
Like, whatever talent they've got, they win 3 games too many. Yeah. Like, and last year, remember, they were ranked, one or two
they were there
for a few weeks, and had they had any offense at all.
Yeah, they had no offense last
defense
year.
Defense was killer. But anyway, that's sidetracked. I'm going to take one more break. Shout out to the tent guy one more time.
Sure,
we'll
come
back and close the doors here.
Yep, we'll wrap it up. All right, thank you to the tent guy for sponsoring the show, 304-380-2935. Again, that's over off 25 there, Nitro, quarter mile from the St. Albans Nitro Bridge off Michigan Avenue. Can't miss it for all your tinny needs. John Wheeler over there at the Tink Guy. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap this thing up. You're listening and watching the Brandon Lowe Show. Show with Ryan Pritt on HT Media Sports and Video Productions. The conversations we have were not on the podcast.
Should only, be on the podcast.
Only we could bring
we're
it
talking
on
about
here.
People getting canceled.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's nothing.
Major League Baseball owners.
Yeah, we can. So yeah, so it's our obligation to give Jack one red hot baseball moment here. So let's.
I mean,
that.
The Reds did start what 3-30. Where are they?
Something like that.
Something crazy.
In third place now in NL Central.
Go ahead.
Ahead of the Pirates and the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. Half a game,
which was inevitable.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's still ahead of them.
The Pirates were like 12 games ahead of the Reds at one point, and everyone's like, I'm like, guys,
give it time.
Hang tight.
First of all, Pittsburgh hasn't beaten Cincinnati in 12 years. Not once, not ever. They'll be there.
But what's coming up this week is something I think is pretty cool, is that Field of Dreams.
Yeah, game. It is.
It's all, you know,
Cincinnati and the Cubs.
Yep.
Fun fact that. About me, I've never seen Field of Dreams.
Really?
Really.
I've only seen
now, I've watched a movie that you've never seen.
Yeah.
I've always
and it's a sports movie.
But see, I have a lot of stupid glaring holes. Like for all like the out like crazy movies I've seen, like I've never seen any of the Terminators.
I've seen 1 and 2. I've never seen anything after that. I know they've made like 5.
Just stupid glaring holes more. In my resume that have no reason at all.
Yeah. You obviously that one.
Never seen Hoosiers.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Never watched it. But at this point, it's like, I already know what happens.
It's a typical hacky sports
movie. I'm sure it's great.
It's good.
At the time, those movies hadn't existed forever, so it was a little I get that, but I know how it ends, so why would I watch it?
Yeah, I mean, those sports movies. I mean, that's what I like about Friday Night Lights. You know, spoiler alert, if no one's seen it, is they don't win in the end. Every time, every other sports, it kind of teaches you, like, hey, well, you don't always win. You don't always win that. That was the one thing I liked about that movie. There was a lot of things in that were
Billy Bob's outstanding though.
Yeah, and he's great. But the funny part, who told us about the jerseys? Because it was supposed to take place in the '80s, and they said that they had all the Under Armour jerseys and the
I can't even remember
the helmets. So we talked to a coach about that, and that was the one whole glaring hole in that whole thing. But that's why I like it.
The '80s had the mesh.
Yeah, and they had
three-quarter.
They had the updated.
Loose.
See, you always had, we're talking sports movies. You always ask that question about like movie or show you've cried in. Rudy, 100 every time.
Really?
I'm not crying, Rudy.
Yeah, oh, I didn't cry for Rudy.
Oh, God. Yeah. Crowd starts chanting.
The custodian did.
They're hitting that damn.
Yeah, he cried and clapped
they're,
really
they're
hard.
Hitting that damn like symphony. It's just climaxing. Just
he's got those gloves on. He's like,
huge violin swells and everyone's chanting his name, and then his little ass runs out. Every time I'm out, I'm done. And I've met and interviewed the guy.
Yeah. You said that was one of the highlights of your career was doing
the best sports documentary ever made.
It's one of the funny part is there's probably people that actually believe that's real.
That's awesome. That movie's so damn good. Oh, you get a young Vince Vaughn in there.
You do, yeah.
You get a young, what's his name? The guy who was with Vince Vaughn and Made, and then now he's like the most important director on planet Earth. What's his name?
I don't know.
Oh my God, I suck. You've seen Swingers, right?
Oh yeah.
What's his name? John Favreau.
He's
in it.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, Rudy's. I don't know.
I showed my daughter Rudy.
Why don't you give it 2 thumbs down?
Nobody likes sports in my house. I'm by myself.
Did she stick through the whole movie?
Yeah, because I made her.
I was about to say, I'm actually, that's props. Cause
I look over and Kelsey's like on her phone. I'm like, do you have a soul? She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, this guy's 5'6" and 130 pounds, and he's the best player on Notre Dame's team. What? Like, never mind.
Who's Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I always
she didn't know who Aaron Rodgers was until he hosted Jeopardy. That's
really?
Favorite thing. She's like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "It's Aaron Rodgers." She's like, "Who's that?" I'm like,
"You're like the host of Jeopardy."
Oh boy.
Is he a hockey player?
she knows her NASCAR though.
That's one thing that really irritates me is when I'm like very passionate about showing somebody that like a movie or a song or something.
Like what,
and they just like completely just not in it. I'm just
that's happens, what I get. That happens at our house all the time.
That's,
and I'm like, I just hate you.
Cause we're polar opposites on like everything. So I'm like in the middle of like an 11 minute Tool song. Like, dude, you hear that break? She's like,
she's like,
listen to this Bone Thugs lyric. And I'm like, what did he even say? I don't understand it.
Now the wife and I are pretty on point, but when it comes to sports though, it's, no,
it can be good though. Sometimes you should have your own stuff, I think.
Yeah, for sure. You should.
Yeah.
Shouldn't like everything.
Which, by the way, we planned to get on this last segment and talk. What were we going to talk? Now we're
NASCAR
now
into relationships. You're going to talk about that race.
Yeah, it was a good race yesterday. Kevin Harvick, about time, broke a 65 race winless streak. That's impossible to think about. And love that guy, man. That was a big win. Got them in the playoffs.
I was completely just giving up on.
Yeah, no. 15 different drivers have now won. The playoffs start 3 races from now. If you win, you're automatically in.
Who did he thank after the victory?
Who did he thank?
Yeah.
Was it Bush?
I don't know.
I thought you were
going to have a list.
I think it was Susie's Biscuits.
Should.
Yeah. Where are you at on that?
Where am I at?
I set you. I put it on a tee for you.
I've been on a diet.
Hit your Susie's
button, dude.
Get you a Susie biscuit.
Come on. Just put it on a tee for you.
I whiffed. Practice swing.
No, it was a really good race. Bubba Wallace finished second. He's coming, man. He's going to get his. And he's already won once, but it was a rain out. He's going to get some. That team's coming. So.
What was it delayed?
Yeah.
They have a afternoon shower.
NASCAR just continues to insist that all races start at 3 now, which puts you right in the middle of the afternoon. And I don't know if you've gathered from living here all summer, but
that's when the rain comes.
If it's hotter than hell and humid as hell, it's probably going to rain in the afternoon. And so, of course, we had it ended up working out for him this time. But, you know, when I was a kid, races started at noon.
Yeah.
1 o'clock at the latest.
Yeah, it was early.
Yeah, especially when you're running on the eastern half of the United States anyway. What is the damn point?
Sure.
Started at 1.
So West Coast even really care about it anyway?
I don't know. They keep insisting.
When I was a kid, they were still racing on the beaches of Daytona.
It was Jack and Harvey Arm flushing it together.
I think that story was about Harvey. I think that's why he was into it. He is John Rambo.
Harvey Arms is
one of the best mascots.
He's a badass.
I mean, one of the best mascots in West Virginia.
Right, Hillbillies? There. Yeah, absolutely.
We need to do
Have you seen the actual mascot that's on the...
No. I haven't seen the actual mascot.
The goat with the big arms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We need to do like a Power 5 or Power 10 ranking of best mascots.
That one's up there.
It is.
We can do...
Yeah, it's on the short list.
We can do our own poll like Wade does.
I don't know if I
don't want anybody else voting. This is our poll.
Yeah.
Oh, you want our
this
poll?
Is that your personal favorite? We could each bring.
I don't know. I'd have to think about
it. We could all bring a top 10 in, and then we could do like points and figure out like the composite top 10.
Hillbillies.
Are we looking at names or we're looking at mascots?
Mascots.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Patriots, Brandon.
Yeah, for sure.
Wildcats, 1-2.
No. I mean, Hillbillies is, Yeah,
no, we're not looking at names. We're looking at actual, like a mascot.
I haven't seen every mascot.
I'm talking school names.
You're talking about names.
Yeah. I haven't seen every mascot. I wouldn't be able to do that.
I don't even know half of the school's because sometimes the mascot doesn't even make sense. Like Alabama's mascot's an elephant, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any schools in our state that do that, is there?
I just haven't seen all of the mascots for me to be able to do that.
So you're talking about like the guy that actually dresses up in the costume?
Well, they've got the drawing on the wall or on the...
you could do that, the logo. The
gym floor.
So you're talking logo.
Or the mascot.
I think we just go names.
I think we go names. You can include the mascot into your ultimate. It's
just
that one. Okay.
It's subjective. Like it's your reason
why. You can use all of it combined to come up with your.
Okay.
And so when Brandon picks the Patriot, we'll understand.
Yeah, which right one?
Well, actually, it's his top seven. Just Patriots, 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 Patriots.
Yeah,
that'd be funny if Brandon just
Wildcats, Cougars,
Midland Trail, GW, Washington,
Wheeling Park,
yeah.
Parkersburg South. Spoiler alert: none of those schools are going to be in my top ten. Sorry to all of them.
They'll be fine. No,
yeah, I knew who my favorite is.
Hey, if they're mad about it, go get another mascot.
Okay, here's a question. What do we do about schools that call their girls' teams and boys' teams different things?
We should probably just do
football.
There's an underrated one in the right in the middle of our state that does that. I'm not mentioning
in the
name.
Middle of the state.
You passed it literally yesterday on the left.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's an underrated good one, by the way. Might be a
I mean, should we just do, like, since it's football season, just do football?
But there's
football?
Not very many of those.
Yeah, I see you just count it as one. So it would be, like, that slash that, and that's one entry.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Like, you can include colors in it. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I know who my number one is.
Let's have that by Friday. We'll do that Friday. We can put out a poll asking for input on whatever.
I mean, are we doing 10?
We're putting school colors now?
Just include it all.
Oh, okay.
It's like all into the package.
Oh, yeah, what you, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We can throw out a poll and people can put it, give us their top five. Or
I already know three. That's definitely.
We're just doing top five.
You want to do 5 or 10?
I think we could do 10.
I can do 10.
Okay, for sure. 10.
And if you, there's the, if you get lost, if you go to the SSAC website, there's like a directory and it lists every school mascot. So, but I mean.
I already have like five right off the top of my head.
We've probably been around.
Yeah, for sure.
Have,
yeah.
So I was just, yeah.
I don't need it.
I don't need it either, but he might. So that's what I was
saying. Yeah, I might. About. If I want to deep
dive. That's not a knock on you.
No, I just don't go.
A lot more of this stuff than you. I almost got, did you see that? I caught myself that time.
Well, you've said shit on here before.
I don't know where that came from. I just did it like the last potty two. Mouth. I know.
It's we're not FCC regulated here, okay?
I think it was.
We don't want to throw F on there.
Do we have any regulations?
I think it's from hanging out at WU practice too much. You hear some things. Just saying.
Blaming WU football for your.
It's just a Division I college practice.
Here's a funny story from high school.
Here from the high school, too, though.
From high school.
Yeah. Speaking of screaming.
See, Jack didn't have a car in high school either. He had a horse.
And
just tied it off in front.
I walked both ways uphill.
No, the horse did.
Yeah, and the horse. But anyway,
I had Jack's
this is a funny story. This was funny that I experienced Saturday down in Hurricane, but I'll leave names off. Hurricane, you know, first day of pads.
Okay.
Yeah. For West Virginia High School was Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In contact. So they did a little scrimmage down there, and one particular coach was just reaming. A defensive back.
Now, hold on real quickly. Were schools allowed to scrimmage other schools Saturday?
No.
Okay.
No, this is first day of contact.
Got you. Go ahead. Sorry.
So he's just giving the kid down the road. I mean, just wearing him out. Not cussing him, but just wearing him out.
Yeah.
And another kid comes up to the coach and goes, coach, that's not such and such. So the coach is like,
wrong name.
Starts reaming him out again. You let me call you by that name. Now his mom's up there embarrassed.
That's funny.
And I thought it was just hilarious.
Didn't even know his name.
I mean, when you got that many kids, and they've got quite a few kids.
For sure. There's new coaches involved. They got a big,
and
big
it was,
roster.
He was probably a freshman. For sure. You
understand.
Yeah. And some of them had the tape on, but still you can't see the tape when you're 20 yards away.
Sure. You know, I got to admit, like, it impresses me a lot when Neil Brown gets asked about, like, freshmen.
And he knows all their names.
And he, like, can tell you what he did in terms of reps at this practice. And, I mean, he's got a roster of, like, 100 and some people.
But do you see him out there jotting down notes, too, during practice?
Yeah, for sure. So. Special teams, too. He's focused on that.
Well, and then, you know, he reviews all of his practices on film, too. Like, Neil's an analytical dude, man.
High school is too smart.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure it's more in depth, probably. Oh. Yeah. But,
yeah. Yeah, he's probably got 4 or 5 cameras at different angles.
Yeah. So
I know he's a big thing back to since you brought up Neil Brown. Everybody was talking about his energy during that press conference. I don't know if you saw that people were commenting.
No.
They're like, his energy seems off. It scares me.
Neil's energy?
Yeah, during the last presser.
He was low-key.
think he was just talking. It was just chill.
God bless. It was 100 degrees.
Those guys getting tired too. I mean, they're there.
Well, not only that, he kept
almost every waking hour.
Well, his daughter was playing in a travel softball tournament too, so he was probably wanting to get the hell out of there and see what was going on as anyone else would.
It's just looking for anything. I'm like, what are we doing?
Bless, people are unbelievable.
I don't know. What was he supposed to kick the damn door in and come in and fire it up?
Woo! Is that what people are saying?
Like the Kool-Aid man coming through the wall?
His voice was lower than normal. He's resigning.
Yeah.
You've got issues.
No, they were like, I was psyched about this team, but his energy, I don't know. We might have things to worry about.
His fifth consecutive practice in the middle of 100 degrees.
I'm at 6-6. Now they're 3-9.
Everybody is a PhD behavioral psychologist.
Look at him. His arms are crossed and his energy is low.
He's wearing a black shirt. That means he's sad. I don't know.
Well, it's probably... Never mind. I'm not going. I just made a comment I shouldn't.
Go on.
Get us off the air for it.
No. The big thing here, folks, is just to wait until they get on the field and then start making your...
Yeah.
You know?
It's tough right
it's
now.
It's fall, man. I mean, they just started.
Yeah.
So, you got a new quarterback. You got young guys behind him. You got a new offense coordinator. Obviously, JT is familiar, but... And that's another thing that was interesting. I'm obviously just keeping it, I think. This is just my opinion, keeping it open just to give those guys a little bit of.
I think there's still competition.
But, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it may not be for one, but I know, two
the one,
spot.
The one thing the I like, that's the that's sure. the thing. I like that JT said JT and Nico are tight now because that's cool. Because Nico, we want him to stay. And I like that. I like that JT, the older guy, is taking him under his wing a little bit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's there's good. There's some good competition going on there, man.
I know there was
backfield,
a little bit. Yeah.
Second, third string defensive line, backups on the offensive line, depth at receiver. I think you got your starting three there. I have no idea how they order after that, though.
So they moved Milam over to left tackle.
Yes.
And he's gained. I mean, he's up three bills now.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you what, man. You walk around there, you know, and I mean, you're standing this close to you and me. Doug Nestor is a massive person.
I'm sure.
That dude is huge. Stay next to him the other day. Like, oh, my God. Yeah, he's a big guy. I'll tell you who else is big, too. Bryce Ford Wheaton is a big dude.
He seems like a tall
225
dude.
Now.
Yeah, and he's
tall.
I mean.
Isn't he like 6'6"? Six,
dude, athletically, you look at him, it's like, that guy.
He was only like 6'4".
Like, that dude.
But still, that's tall.
That dude could be like. I mean, he's got everything physically that you're looking for out of a receiver. I mean, he's huge and he can run and he's strong and it's like.
I saw somebody said, which I'm not going to say the name, but he's a reincarnation of Jerry Porter.
Gee, I wonder who that was.
So I just saw that and I was like, oh, is he? Let's see how it plays out. But I saw that on social media.
All right, so Friday we unveil our top 10 mascots, right, guys? We composite a list between the three.
They list him at 6'3".
Oh, okay. Well, I gave him too much. So he looks a lot bigger than that.
So the way we'll do this is like whoever's number one on your list will get 10 points, and whoever's second will get 9.
Okay.
7,
so it
six,
just goes
and
down.
We'll add all three
of
ours together.
These rules to me.
It's really not that hard, man. You got this. It's a.
This is not hard, but I got other things going. You know that.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's a competition. We're not going to cheat.
Nah, it's just
points.
We're
just coming up with the show's composite mascot.
Just reverse the order. So your first one's 10 points and then down.
Yeah.
To 10 would be 1 point.
Your second would be 9.
You see math.
So you just reverse the numbers.
I'll handle it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You just reverse the numbers.
I'll have Malia handle it.
Appreciate you, Malia.
Just like she's already running state tennis next year, so now she can just do this too.
She can do SSAC football rankings.
Yeah, now I don't even get that.
That's like a formula that no one knows.
I don't know who's in charge of that, but somebody's in a lab with a hamster wheel losing their mind every Friday because that Rick tried to explain it to me a couple of times.
It's actually pretty
simple. Brain shut off.
It's pretty simple.
But it's like your opponent and who they beat and who their opponent's
opponent. Now, what gets difficult when they throw in like a out of state opponent?
Yeah. And
what do they do with that?
And then you don't know what classification they're. They've got class. They put them in a.
Oh, okay.
Single A, double A, triple A.
It's a whole thing, but I will say it has to be better than letting the media vote do it. As someone who used to vote in a media poll.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
I understand why they don't do it. Yeah. Thank God they don't. Anymore. Because that's a media guy. Let me tell you something. You don't want the media voting on the state football poll.
Well, because everybody is in their area, right? You're covering your area. You're very
If I could list on a piece of paper on all my fingers and toes how many times somebody from a state newspaper would say, this is the best player in the state, having seen eight high schools play. Like, I would, it's...
Yeah, you're very just in your tunnel vision to that area.
Maybe you're right, but it's like, you've seen eight schools play.
Right, exactly.
Or ma'am.
Bro.
Right.
Yeah.
Bro.
You haven't seen the whole state. That's, that's impossible.
And that's exactly what those polls do, so...
Yep.
It's fun, the polls are cool, it gets people talking. I'm not bad-mouthing the polls, I'm just saying they're not what I would want to seed playoff teams on.
Sure.
Just leave it at that.
I like it. I like our system.
Yeah. I think it's fine. But I just don't understand it. But I'm good with it.
You don't have to understand everything.
Right. Just like you don't need to understand how we're going to come up with our mascots on Friday.
That's fine.
Okay.
I love how we've gone through that. The colors, the logo on the SSAC site. You asked if it was actually going to be the mascot on the field.
It's all a package.
Is it, you know, is it the name itself?
It's a package. Package deal.
We got it, I think.
Yeah, we're good.
All right.
I'll handle
it. We'll end it right there.
I've got my number one in my head, so.
Yeah, I got to do some thinking. I got to do some thinking. It's close comp.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you to our guest, Harvey Arms. Noah hopping on with us, too.
Yeah, man. Great segments both times. And like I said, Harvey Arms is now the guy I'm going to call when I need to know if a movie's good or not. So,
We wish Noah some luck, too, after he gets out of college, and we'll see what he does, too. So, I appreciate those guys coming on. We'll talk to you on Friday here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Prentner.